If you're trying to figure out why your body feels different, why your treatment isn't working, or whether this is menopause or something else, it's not because you're missing something. It's because no one has connected the dots for you. The Holistic Healing Summit is where that changes. In 1 week, you'll hear from the specialists people pay hundreds of dollars to see, and finally get the answers that actually apply to your body. Go to lssupportnetwork.org/WHS to register, because this isn't something you should have to do alone.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for coming to listen to the Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. My name is Kathy, and this is our journal of learning about and living with lichen sclerosis. Each week, I either research or speak to someone pertaining to lichen sclerosis. This week, we're going to continue my conversation with Leah Mitchell. She was the clinical research aide for Dr. Andrew Goldstein at the Center for Vulvovaginal Disorders for 4 years. And she's going to tell us about clinical trials pertaining to lichen sclerosis, mental health, from where the research has come and where it's going, if they're studying the cause of lichen sclerosis. And we even talked about what makes a good clinical trial and what kind of risk are we taking when we partake in these clinical trials. But before we get into our conversation with Leah, I want to let you know about the Lichen Sclerosis Support Network's new Facebook page. You can find it at facebook.com/Lichen Sclerosis Support Network. There I'll be posting stats and facts about lichen sclerosis, inspirational messages, and updated information about what's going on in the network. And you definitely want to go like and follow it, because we've got some exciting news coming out in the next couple of weeks, and I cannot wait to share it with you. I've been working hard while I was taking a break, and I'm so happy with what's coming. So head on over to Facebook if you're on there and like the Lichen Sclerosis Support Network page. Now, let's jump into my conversation with Leah Mitchell. Hi, Leah. Welcome back. So I wanted to know, is there any research being done on lichen sclerosis and mental health?
So there is. I wrote a paper with a few of my coworkers, and we're looking at the prevalence of anxiety with women with lichen sclerosis. And I mean,
huge.
It's there. It's huge. It's there.
Huge.
It is clear that lichen sclerosis affects your mental health.
Yes.
Because it can affect every aspect of your life.
Yes.
Walking. Yeah. It affects walking.
Yes. Using the bathroom.
It affects going to sleep. It affects sitting. It affects.
Yes.
Yeah. It affects all of that. It affects your daily life. Even if you take sex out of the picture.
Yes.
But sex itself is needed. It's good. It's healthy. Sex is what we're born to do. If we weren't made to enjoy sex, we wouldn't have a clitoris. It affects mental health 100%. There's no denying it.
Yeah, definitely. That was one of the things I mentioned to Dr. Eden in my last interview, was that I feel like doctors who, or clinicians, whoever diagnoses you with your lichen sclerosis, that it should be mandated that they have to give you a referral to a therapist or a psychologist or someone that treats people with chronic illnesses to speak to let you know that, okay, this is going to change you in this way. But if you're mindful of it and you're looking out for it, then we can stop that, or we can at least come up with ways for you to deal with it so that you don't go down that cycle of mental health, of anxiety and low self-esteem and fear and all the things that come with it. If we're made aware of it beforehand, then it doesn't sneak up on us. And it's not like me 2 years after my diagnosis, waking up to the fact that, hey, I've got issues and I've got to deal with these issues now. And they all stem to the fact that I was diagnosed with lichen sclerosis.
Yes, I agree. I think it's very important to talk to your provider about that as well. They're few and far between, but there are some sex therapists out there that are very aware of lichen sclerosis and they understand the toll it takes. It's just, how do you find them is the issue at hand, because again, it's the awareness needs to be brought about. And then if we bring about the awareness, then these psychiatrists, these psychologists can become aware of it. They can learn about it. And then they can become experts in dealing with women with lichen sclerosis issues. So
that's part of the big picture of awareness. That's why it's so, 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 so important.
So important.
Yes.
It all starts with awareness. And then more people that are aware, the more people talk about it. And then providers realize how much we need to know about it.
How has research changed over the last 4 years?
You know, I've really seen the studies move from these topical treatments to these injections to lasers. So it seems like we're trying to just find what works best. And as of right now, the gold standard is the topical high potent corticosteroids like clobetasol. But we are working further. Right now, the hot spot is the CO2 fractional laser. I've seen other lasers on clinicaltrials.gov that they're trying to use. They've tried mesenchymal stem cells in the past. We're looking for information and treatments that will help on a multitude of levels for lichen sclerosis, because we don't know exactly what the inflammatory pathway is.
So if you had to guess, what do you think we're going to be studying as far as lichen sclerosis in the next 5-10 years?
I definitely think HIFU, which is the high intensity ultrasound, is going to come up. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be the next thing after the Mona Lisa laser. And then continuous clinical research, meaning within the practice. So looking at your patient population and having questionnaires and looking at the relationship between demographics and symptoms and past treatments and symptoms. I think that's definitely important. But a lot of providers don't do database studies like that, which is, it's not hard. It just takes a lot of time to do it. And you need to do it early in your setup. So let's say, like when I start practicing, I will definitely want to set up some sort of system where I can gather all this information and it can just constantly be updating with when my patients come in. So find a way to take a step back and kind of look at all of my patients and find any sort of relationships between the pool of the patients. So I think that type of research is important. But in terms of treatment research, I do foresee HIFU coming out and being the next big thing. And I think people are going to continue to use Mona Lisa and PRP and stem cells as long as they help. But it's just hard to say exactly where it's going to go with such little people involved.
Yeah, we definitely have to grow the community on the professional side. We need more researchers. We need more doctors that are paying attention. We need better care on that side. And with better awareness comes better care.
Yes, exactly. I agree. I mean, I think it's getting there slowly but surely. There's definitely more research than 4 years ago when I first started working at the CVVD. If I were to search lichen sclerosis on clinicaltrials.gov, there were few and far between that would pop up, maybe 4 or 5. And then today when I popped in the search, there were 24 that came up. There is definitely progress and there is definitely more awareness of this disease, even just within the past 4 years. And I can't imagine what progression Dr. Andrew Goldstein's seen, and he started doing this. I want to say it's been about 20 years now. So I'm sure he's seen a huge progression in the awareness of lichen sclerosis. So it's definitely continuing to grow, and it will continue. I know everyone would like for it to happen a lot quicker, but it takes time for clinical research, and that's the only downside about.
Is there any research into what causes lichen sclerosis, or is it more just on the treatment side?
There is research into what causes it, and that is our biomarker study that the CVVD is running jointly with George Washington University.
So let's talk about this study. What's the name of it again?
The full name of our study is The Discovery and Validation of Biomarkers for Lichen Sclerosis. So we call it our biomarker study for short.
Tell us, how did you do it and what did you find out?
So it's an ongoing study right now. We're looking at the biomarkers involved. What that means is the proteins, glycoproteins, and we're looking at genes. The way we're looking at the genes specifically is by getting families. There have been familial studies that indicate a positive family history of lichen sclerosis. There's about 12% of approximately 1,000 women report a first degree female relative with the same conditions.
Can you talk about the results from the first study?
The main results from the first study are actually information on where does it come from. It's still very unclear, but we know from the data there is a very strong correlation with families and an autoimmune disorder. The issue with autoimmune disorders is that we have autoantigens in our body that's saying, oh, this is not myself, even though it really is yourself. So your body is attacking your own cells. The main goal of our biomarker study is to find more information about the etiology and find the exact inflammatory pathway that's being targeted in lichen sclerosis. And the purpose of that is to find better treatment. If we know what inflammatory pathway is being overexpressed or being activated, we can target that specific pathway, and then that is the basis of targeting the treatment for this disease. So instead of just applying an ultra potent topical steroid and killing all inflammatory pathways, the hopes is to target that specific one.
Is it the same in every person though? Because we all have different symptoms and it just affects us all in different ways, some minor, some major. Mm-hmm. Is it the same pathway for everyone?
We don't know. That's what we're trying to figure out. But in general, the way lichen sclerosis shows itself is typically the same. We have the classic scarring, we have classic depigmentation, also known as hypopigmentation, where the skin changes to this white color. There's what they call cigarette-like paper skin, which is the lichenification. It's clear that there is definitely a similar inflammatory pathway based on the clinical presentation. But again, like you said, people vary in the degree of how they have it. Some people have it in a classic figure eight pattern, meaning it goes all around the vaginal opening and then around the anus, and it's in that figure eight pattern. But some women can have it only on their vestibule, only the anterior portion of their vestibule. Your vestibule is located between your vaginal introitus, which is the opening, and your labia minora. And some people only have it there, but some people only have it around their rectum. So it clearly changes from patient to patient. But from what I've seen, it seems like every autoimmune disease is like that, and almost every sickness that you get. So it's definitely patient-based, but there's also a very similar pathway that's being activated.
Yeah.
how much time it takes.
Right. So talking about clinical trials and research, when we're doing our own research into possible treatments like the CO2 laser, like the PRP and the ultrasound, what should we look for when we're looking at a clinical trial to see that it is a good trial versus a bad trial where the numbers may be fudged or skewing more towards just trying to get someone's personal product approved? What markers mm-hmm. should we be looking for?
That's a great question, Kathy. So the first thing I'm going to state is that you need to have it be a double-blinded study. And what that means is that the clinician giving you the treatment does not know which treatment you're getting, and you, as the study participant, don't know which treatment you're getting, which means the study also needs to be placebo-controlled. That is the main aspect. And the more participants in the study, the better the results of the study. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean that the study is not a good study. It just means that it'll have a higher impact if there are more participants.
What's the minimum participants?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it can go anywhere as low as 10, but I would at least do 30 or more. That's what we've been doing with our studies. And we have very sound studies. We make sure that they're double blind, placebo controlled. The smaller the study size, the quicker the study will get done. But again, that means it'll have less impact
right.
when the results are published. But it doesn't mean it's a bad study. It just means it's less impact because a smaller amount of people.
Right.
And the next thing I would be wary of is how are they gathering data? So what are their factors that they're looking at? What are their outcome measurements? Are they taking a biopsy before you start treatment? What are they using that for? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of the biopsy? Are they using the biopsy to determine the level of inflammation on a microscopic scale? That would be a good use of the biopsy. Are they doing questionnaires? Are they assessing my symptoms throughout the trial? Are they looking at my symptoms before treatment, during treatment, after treatment? Are they assessing a physician or a clinician scale based off of what it looks like on a clinical presentation scale? Do I have less tearing? Is my skin still fused? All of those lines. Is there more lichenification or scarring? And then there are other questionnaires out there that they can use. Also photographs, having a before and after photograph is great. Another way just to prove that on a clinical visual standpoint, you can see a clear improvement pre and post. Those are really important. And then the other importance is their inclusion and their exclusion criteria. Who can and can't be involved? The main point I want to make out on this is if they don't exclude people that have been using treatment for lichen sclerosis for at least, I mean, some people do 4 weeks, some people do 4 months before they start the trial, then you should be wary of these results and how they're going to come out, because we really need baseline. We need women that have been off of any sort of treatment, because we don't want someone's prior treatment to affect the outcomes of our study. So that is also a very important.
Now, being that you just said that, if you stop your treatment for 4 months, don't you risk the progression of lichen sclerosis? Is that something we should really think about?
Yes. Oh, yes. That should definitely be something that everyone thinks about, because that is the risk you take in participating in these clinical trials. Is getting off of your medication going to be something that's not good for your health?
Right.
That's why recruitment for these are very challenging, because some people are like, yes, I really want to help us find new treatments, but I don't think I can bear not being on my topical clobetasol for 4 weeks because I need it. I need to be on it and I don't want it to progress. Now, 4 weeks is not that large of a time. For example, if you stop clobetasol, the chances of you developing cancer within 4 weeks is very unlikely. It just doesn't usually develop that quickly. But I mean, again, that is still a risk that you take in doing that. And that is one of the main things that deter women from participating in these studies. That is where I have struggled the most in my recruitment, because I understand if I had lichen sclerosis, I wouldn't want to stop my clobetasol for 4 weeks to be in a study.
I'm even thinking, what about 4 months? That seems excessive to me. Like 4 weeks, I might.
Yeah, four.
I might. If you're giving me another treatment if you might be giving me, because it's a double blind, if you might be giving me a treatment in 4 weeks, then I can deal with that. But to be off of the treatment for 4 months and then the whole process of the clinical trial, you're doing multiple treatments over a certain span of time. It can be another 3 months, right?
Yes.
For the length of the trial. So you're talking about I'm off my treatment for 4 months plus another 3 months. That's 7 months that I have not used medication. Yeah. Then now my ALS is progressing and I can have fusing. I can have massive tearing. There's so many things that can happen that I don't know that it would be worth it.
Yes. And usually you don't have to stop for 4 months before starting the study. So for our studies, specifically for the Mona Lisa and for the PRP, we just require them to be off of it for 4 weeks prior to participation. But again, it is a double-blind placebo-controlled study, so you don't know if you're going to get it. So you do run the risk of having increased symptoms during those 4 weeks when you're off the medication to when you end the study, because you can't use the clobetasol or whatever treatment you were using during the study. However, what I tell women who have this concern is that we are looking at you and we are seeing your vulva every step of the way. Mm-hmm. So if we were to see anything that is concerning, then we would tell you.
Okay.
And we would say, I think you need to be pulled from the study. You need to get back on the clobetasol right now to prevent any further progression. But at the same time, it is also kind of subjective as to whether or not your disease is progressing. So we look at it on a standpoint of, is it progressing so far that it can cause problems to her health? Meaning, does it look like she has anything that could potentially turn into a cancer? Does she have a precancerous change? Versus if you have continued scarring, we'll tell you that you have continued scarring, but we're not worried about your health. But the scarring can also affect your health.
Exactly.
If that makes sense. Because as it can affect your mental health.
Absolutely.
So it's all subjective.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, 1-5% of lichen sclerosis can turn into vulval cancer. Scarring is a whole nother issue that affects way more of us and definitely has a broader effect on us. So I would definitely want to know if my scarring is so bad that I'm fusing to the point where it's going to change the way I can live my life and have sexual intercourse. So I think that's definitely as important, and I would want to be pulled from the study and notified if that is the case.
Yes, I completely agree. And you are correct. If your LS is not optimally treated, you have a 4-6.7% risk of developing cancer. And that's the thing, is that we understand as clinicians and as medical providers, we look more at things that are serious. So when we see cancer, we're like, okay, we got to do everything to prevent the cancer. Cancer, cancer, cancer. She's not going to get cancer on my clock. I don't want her disease progressing. But sometimes we get tunnel vision.
Yes.
And it's like all we think about. And then we're like, oh, wait, she also has all this scarring. And that's why it's so important to address the scarring as a clinician and as a patient. It's important to be like, yes, I am worried about the cancer, but what is affecting me right here, right now is the scarring.
Right.
And is the tearing and all of that. So you need to make sure that your provider is aware that is what's concerning you. But again, if you treat the disease optimally, then you're also treating the scarring and the tearing and the cancer.
Yeah. Again, goes back to my mantra, we have to use our voices. We have to use our voices, not only sharing our story with others, but using our voices in the doctor's office to make sure they know what we need, because they're not in our heads. This disease is not popular to the fact that they know what all of our needs and concerns are. And one day, hopefully, we'll get there. But right now, they need us to use our voices to tell them. Leah, thank you so much for coming and just so much knowledge. I can't even, it's beyond words how much knowledge you've dropped on us, and such important knowledge that we need, especially looking at clinical trials when we're looking at alternative treatments. I definitely have to have you back so we can talk about mental health, because that's my baby. Again, just thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, Kathy. It's been a wonderful time speaking with you. And I look forward to talking with you again and raising awareness about lichen sclerosis.
Where can my listeners find you on the web if they want to follow you?
I am on Instagram predominantly, and my Instagram name is the_womenshealth_PA_S.
And I'll have a link to that in the show notes. And if we're looking for more information on clinical trials, where should we go?
Clinicaltrials.gov is a great website to use to stay up to date on all of them. You can also go to the Center for Vulvovaginal Disorders website, which is vulvodynia.com, to stay up to date on their current clinical trials.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much for coming by today.
Thank you so much, Kathy. It was such a treat to join you. Thank you.
Wow. That was such an amazing conversation I had with Leah. I really do appreciate her talking with me and sharing that information with you. So there you have it. As we all know, and the studies confirm, lichen sclerosis definitely affects our mental health. That's why it's so important that we get support. So we learned they are researching lichen sclerosis and mental health. They're researching all kinds of treatments and the cause of it. If you're doing your own research and looking at clinical trials, look for double-blind placebo trials where they have at least 30 participants and they're not using people who are already on treatments so that the numbers aren't skewed in their favor. And if you're thinking about joining a clinical trial, make sure you know all the risk. How long are you going to be off medication? Even during the trial, because if it's a blind placebo trial, there is a possibility that you will not get treatment during that trial. So make sure that you know what the risks are before you join that trial.
Don't forget to subscribe to be notified when the next episode is live. And make sure to come back next week, because we're going to be talking about support groups and why they're so important. I look forward to speaking with you next week. I hope you have an amazing day, and I will see you next time. Bye.